Auburn drops a tough one to Duke, 84-78. But hey, they look pretty good. Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we got our boy, Zepp Jasper, also in here, ready to get after it. Talk about this tough loss Auburn took on the road at Cameron Indoor against Duke. I think there's still some positives you can take away from it. You can't watch basketball like you watch football. You can't have the same mindset. And then we're going to talk about what we have on the road in the very near future as far as what games we have upcoming and talk about those as well. Before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a 300% deposit bonus. So give them $100, multiply it by three. You get that back in free play in the casino. Win big there. Go hit that sports book and bet anything you want to bet until your heart's content. Any line you can get, any sport you want to bet, they got it. Easy deposits, easy withdrawals, mybookie.ag. Zepp, we took one on the chin. We go up to Cameron Indoor. Played really well. I walked away feeling like we belonged. And I think that was the biggest thing I wanted to come away with, because that's a moment that I feel like we haven't really – we've done the Final Fours and we've done all that stuff, but, like, really going in tough environments like that. I was proud of how they performed, proud of how it came out. What's your thoughts on that game?
Well, we all knew it was going to be a tough game. Duke is one of the best teams in the country, which they know they had an advantage by being at home. Home court advantage is always great for the other team, but – I think we had a great game, which some players didn't step up the way they wanted to, but it's basketball. You're going to have off nights. Like you said, this is not football. This is a game of runs. This is a game that you can have one of those games and lose and come back and be super, super duper on everything you do on the court. So I think it was a great game with both teams. I think we'll bounce back. I think we still number one in the KenPon. Yeah. We'll lose number two, but it doesn't matter. We'll see those guys in the tournament.
Yeah, I walked away feeling like Auburn belonged. Came out really hot. I think started off maybe like a 13-2 run. And then Duke, they're just super long. And they really frustrated us a little bit. Kind of kept us out of being able to get into our sets. We had to really start – we had to, like, create shots. They're very, very good on defense. And plus being at home – the crowd was crazy as well. Just talk about a few guys. Obviously, Denver. I'm sorry. Obviously, Janai had another great game. He was a little bit shaky inside. I feel like he didn't quite have the game inside as far as from a field goal percentage perspective. He missed a few there, but I mean, gosh, you can't really complain with 20-12 on the road against Duke. And then a lot of the talk has been about Tahad Pettiford, Zepp, and he goes off. He seems to perform in these type games. He kind of thrives off of these environments. My question to you is, he played 20 minutes, and from the casual fan, it seems easy. He played 20 minutes. Why can't he play 30 minutes? Like, what? If he plays 20 minutes and he scores 20 points on the road against Duke, shooting four of eight from three, I mean, why can't this kid play more minutes? It just seems like he's only getting, 18 to 20 minutes a game. Walk us through, like, that whole process. Like, how does Tahad get to where he's going to be that maybe 25 to 28 minute a game player? Because I feel like that's what kind of takes us to the next level.
Well, it's going to be very hard in BP system for him to get 28 minutes. You look at the team, you look at the dynamics, the way the team is, you have a lot of older guys that's in front of him. So those guys came back for a reason, which Tahad knows that those minutes are going to be split. He plays the one and the two. But I think, the fans look at it as, oh, I think Tahad should be the point guard. He shows up in big games, which, yes, everyone should think Tahad should be the point guard, but he just brings that tenacity off the bench. He puts the pressure on the defense off the bench. He's just one of those guys that he lives for the moment. And I just think that he also should get more minutes, but I think it's going to be very hard with the team, the way the team is set up and the dynamic. And, with this being the first loss, I think, we're going to look at it like this, but let's keep the tradition going
No.
and keep the minutes the same, because we're going to keep winning the way we kept winning, like the Maui,
Yeah.
the quad won't win. So, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No reason to blow anything up. No reason to blow anything up yet. And I will say this, one thing Tejada has to work on still, and this is how you, tell me if I'm wrong on this. Defense matters. Defense matters, and defense gets you minutes just as much as offense gets you minutes. Just look at Denver Jones. Did not score at all against Duke. Was 0 for 4 from the field, but he played 28 minutes and he was only minus 3. So in a 6-point game, as far, he was only minus 3 in the plus minus. And so in a 6-point game, when he was in there, obviously Auburn was only lost 3 points, in other words. So he played a ton of minutes, didn't score. That's all defense. That's the only thing you can contribute that to, getting the offense going and playing defense. And Tejada is like you said, he's tenacious, but he's a little handsy. He's a little reachy still. And that comes from time learning how to play defense at this level. Four fouls will get you in trouble. Got to be able to guard without fouling. Just talk about defense and how what it takes to be able to, be able to earn those minutes for through the defensive end.
Well, you hit it right on the nail. I analyze and watch the games also. I think you have a lot to learn on defense. Just being a freshman, having that mindset of I'm scoring, but also coming back playing defense, of being too hyped of trying to guard a defender, or maybe just guarding the wrong way, being too handsy. I just think he have a little bit of things to work on, but which his scoring is very, very good. But I think he could work on his defense in many different ways.
So when you're a guy like Tejada, you're McDonald's All-American, you play on all these AAU circuits and you play this big time like prep basketball. Scoring is what you're, that's what gets your highlight. That's what your highlight film's on. Scoring, all these games that I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like most of these games are big offensive games. What is that learning curve like? How hard is it to change that mindset from I'm a dog on the offensive side, just give me the ball and I'll go score. And like, who cares on the other side of the on the other side of the ball, other side of the court? How do you change that mindset? Like, how do you get out of the whole I gotta score, gotta score, gotta score to I gotta stop, gotta stop, gotta stop?
Well, coming to college, playing a team like Duke, you realize that no one's on the court is weak. You have to guard 1 through 5, and he realizes that this is not going to be easy. He's always been the man on every single team, and it's always been score, 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 do this, do this, do that. So I just think of it as he's watching older guys. So like when 2, 3 minutes go into the last minute of the game, you see they always take Tejada out and put Denver Jones back in at point guard. It's because they feel like Denver Jones have more experience on defense and basically closing out the games. They feel like Tejada is a scorer, but they feel like he can make mistakes coming in at the end of the game. But I also look at it as that's as of he's learning. It's one of those things that some games he might finish the end of the game, and some games he might not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's a lot of times when I'm watching a game and like just the eye test, you just feel like, man, we can play with these guys, but you can't figure out why are we losing right now. You know what I mean? Like there's we're hitting shots. I mean, Auburn shot 40% from three. They shot let's see. 80% from the line, so it's not free throws. They out-rebounded Duke, so it's not rebounds. They only turned it over 8 times. Bruce said, hey, if you out-rebound Duke and you only turn it over 8 times and you shoot like we did from the field, that should equal a win. what was the it was really hard to pinpoint like what was the like difference. It really was like what was the difference in that game? I can't really put my finger on it.
Well, the biggest difference, I had two emphasis, me analyzing the game. I would say the Evans kid coming off the bench. No one on Auburn knew that he was going to come in the game and do what he did. I think if I think he had 14 or 15 at the half. Me sitting watching the game, I totally didn't expect him to do that. And if I'm BP, when they read the scouting report, they didn't say, okay, this kid is going to come out here and shoot five, six threes and make them. It was one of those things that he came out and he did it, and it's like halftime, they're like, oh, we're not going to let this dude shoot no more threes. And then the second thing I picked on was we have small guards. They're a long team. So every time their coach would set a screen with Cooper Flagg, and Cooper Flagg would tear us apart with our small guards and shoot right over top of them or make the right correct play.
Just talking about Isaiah Evans. He played 18. I'm sorry. He played 16 minutes. He played 16 minutes, scored 18 points, 6 of 8 from three. And it wasn't like they were wide open threes. I mean, he had some that were wide open just off of like really good ball movement. But I mean, he was just stroking it.
Yeah, they were.
There was just nothing. I can see that. So you let him, maybe that's someone you may have overlooked because I don't know what Cooper Flagg's averages are. I mean, he had a double-double, but he was 0 for 3. I'm sorry, 0 for 4 from 3. And I don't know. I felt like I don't know what, again, I don't know what his averages are, but I felt like they defended him well. I don't know. It didn't seem like to me, even though he did score 22 points, the Evans kid to me was the difference maker. That you played good, but again, like you said, the long guards frustrated us a little bit. There was a stretch, I think, there at the end where I think Tahad hit a or either Tahad or Chad hit a big three with like 5 minutes to go to cut it to like 2 points, and then you didn't hit a field goal. I think maybe for the rest of the game, or for the I think the only thing you had the rest of the game was free throws. So closer, I want to ask you a question about closer. Do you see a closer on this team? And what does that lineup look like? Like when I say that, the guy that can, I feel like there's several, but is the guy that you can put the ball in their hands at the top of the key, you know he's gonna beat his guy off the dribble, he's gonna get to the hole, and he's either gonna finish or he's gonna get fouled late in games. Guys that you just know it's almost a guaranteed possession. You got Jani, but Jani needs help getting the ball to him. So who's going to be that finisher? Who's going to be that closer in crunch time for this team?
I have two guys, Tahad Pettiford and Chad Baker-Mazzara. Those guys are not afraid of the moment. So when you give the ball to those guys, they know in their head that no one can stop them. Even if they can't make the shot, they still feel like they can make it. Either way, Chad Baker-Mazzara, every time I see him get the ball, he have the unlimited confidence when he gets it. He don't care if you're in his face. He don't care if you force him right. He have unlimited green light confidence. Tahad Pettiford, he feel like he can take you off the dribble, right hand, left hand. He just have that flow about him.
So, what's the best lineup then with those two guys in late in the game, in your opinion? If you got the rotation set, like what's your ideal finish the game off lineup?
At the five, I probably would go Jani Broome.
Sure.
Four, Chaney Johnson. Chad Baker-Mazzara. Probably out of Miles Kelly and Denver Jones, depending on who's having a more hot night. They're both interchangeable. So out of those two guys, I would interchange those guys depending on who's shooting better that night. And I would go Tahad Pettiford without a doubt with a point guard.
I like it. I like it. I don't like to pick on anybody, okay? I don't want to single anybody out, but JP struggled again, big time, at the point. And I know that Denver, this is, I think it compounds things. because I know Denver can play point guard. Okay. And I know that he played good in Maui and he can score because he's just a good, he's a good player. But I feel like him having to play too many minutes at the point is sort of limiting him from an offensive perspective. I don't know if you agree with me on that, but I think Denver's a basketball player. Okay. So he can score anywhere you put him. But I think him running those sets that they run for Miles Kelly, I think that is what makes him more dangerous. And I want him to be able to come downhill without having to bring the ball up the court and set up the offense. I just feel like that's a little bit of a limiting factor right now that they got to get figured out. Just because when you get in these games where the guards are frustrating you a little bit, I don't know, man. I feel like the Denver at point cheats him a little bit. It limits him. Tell me if I'm wrong. I may be completely misreading that.
You're absolutely 100% correct. I also think it limits. I think him being at the two, it puts him in better positions to score. I feel like he's not a point guard. He's a basketball player. I feel like he's not even a combo guard. He's a two guard. So it actually does limit him from scoring. It actually makes it harder for him to score and actually for him to do things. But he's a ball secure guard. So being at the point guard, it's not hard for him to do, but he's not a distributor. He's not a guy who puts you in position to get guys open, to read the floor. He's a guy who's gonna read the right play and make the right play at all times. So I 100% agree with you on those antics with him. Because last year he looked way more comfortable being at the two, making the right plays and making the right reads and scoring the basketball. That's what he does. He scores the basketball.
Again, he can excel anywhere because he's a basketball player, because he's a really good basketball player. But the lack of JP getting up to speed quick, you know, the just kind of it seems like to me, and there's a term in golf when you have the yips, and it's like it's a mind thing, and it's nothing you can do. It's just a mind thing that makes you know, do something that's sort of uncharacteristic because you're overthinking things. I feel like in a perfect example is when JP made a beautiful, he broke down his guy and made a beautiful drive to the basket, maybe towards the end of the half or something like that, made a beautiful drive to the basket, and he's right there at the basket. And it's like, man, I'm right there. All you got to do is lay it in. And he couldn't get it done. Like he either threw it too hard off the basket, or I can't remember exactly what happened, but it was one of those things where it's not, you can see the physical ability. Like you can see him, you can see him be able to show a little bit of a burst. You can see him, the shot mechanics look good. But for whatever reason, it's like there's this, I don't know. I can't explain it. I know athletes go through this sometimes where it's just like you have a mental block. Is that what you're seeing with him as well?
Well, I'm 100% correct. You 100% correct. When he went to that basket, I said, "Oh my God, this is gonna be his chance. He's gonna get that floater, that layup, and that's gonna boost his confidence." Ain't nothing like scoring a basket in Cameron Indoor Stadium. But I just think his confidence is very low right now, and I hope to see him have a game where he just get 3 to 4 3-pointers in. He just need to pick his confidence up and just don't care. Don't care about what people say. Don't care about what his parents, don't care about what BP say. Just go out and play freaking basketball. The same way you played at Furman. Just pipe it up a little bit and go out there and just be you. Don't try to be no one else.
The court's the same size, the basket's the same height. Everything's the same. You're just playing. I will say this, to make that jump and then you play five quad one wins in the first six or seven games. That is a you got to get up to speed quick. So the rest of the schedule leading into the non leading into the end of the non-conference, you got some good opportunities for him to be able to hopefully find that rhythm because I think, man, if JP could give you 20 good minutes at point, holy cow, what does that do to this offense? Or not, maybe not even 20. Maybe if he can just give you 15 to 18 good minutes at point, what does that do to this offense? You got Richmond on Saturday or Sunday. I'll be there for that one. I'm pretty pumped about that one. I got some floor seats for that
I'm
one,
gonna try
Zach.
to make that one. I'm gonna try
Let's
to
go.
make it out.
Okay, cool. We'll have to link up. You got Ohio State, very beatable in Atlanta. You got Georgia State at home. Then you go to play Purdue, who just got absolutely annihilated, or they're either getting annihilated or got annihilated by Penn State. And then you have you close out the non-conference schedule with Monmouth. So you got some really good opportunities to figure it out, kind of get the figure out that rotation. And I say figure it out, and we've only lost one game, and we're number one in KenPom. And you got your 4-1 in quad one win. So it's not like the wheels are falling off. Again, this isn't football. Okay. This isn't football. Games don't matter as much from game to game as they do in football. So you can't watch basketball the same way that you watch football. You can't hang on every game like that and think after a loss, you got to blow everything up. There were some ticky-tack foul calls. They shot a hell of a lot more free throws than we did. And if you look at the point differential, they made seven more free throws than us, and the point differential was 6 points. So there's definitely something there as well. You get the calls at home, and we get them too. We get them too at Neville. So I feel actually it's weird to feel encouraged after a loss. Am I crazy?
You're right. I don't think you're crazy. Like I said, the boys are gonna go in and watch film and get ready for the next game and feel like they can win each game of the season.
There you go. There you go. All right. So we're gonna call it a night after that, guys. I really appreciate you listening. Got some very winnable games. I feel like Auburn wins all of them over the next stretch until they head into the conference schedule. So you got a really good chance to go into conference schedule with only one loss and some really, really quality wins, getting you ready for the conference schedule. So guys, I really appreciate you listening. Zep, tell them where they can find you and support you.
Follow me on IG at RIP underscore QUAN12, Twitter at RIP underscore QUAN5.
Yes, sir. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. And we'll be back again soon. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast.